And brethren, look how much the world has changed in a year since the last time we were at convention together. Look at the prices that we have to pay at the grocery store, at the gas pump. Look what's happening in the Middle East. It changes hourly. People, you don't know if what, when you listen to the news, if they're telling you the truth. Commonly say it's fake news. So more turmoil than what we saw last year. You know, I mentioned that we live in a farming community. And so I talk to a lot of the farmer folks around here, and a lot of them have been farming their third and fourth generation. A lot of them have in the same family farm for 150 years. It's not unusual to see them farms that have been in the same family for 200 years. So I asked them, how are you guys doing? And they kind of looked at me with a sad eye saying, we may have to sell out. And what's happening is they are selling out to these solar farms or to these data centers. And it's really upsetting a lot of these people because they're saying, we can't make it anymore. I don't know how much longer we're going to survive. And so there's real fear, real concern that's out there in the world right now. But I was thinking, for us, fear not, little flock. Fear not at what we see going around us right now. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, brethren, at the things we see going around us. Don't we expect to see the world falling apart? Don't we expect to see the grinding down of this old order? Like it speaks of in Daniel 2, the grinding down of the image. Don't we expect to see more discontent? The issue I was thinking of, the challenge for me, stay out of it. Stay out of it. Keep your focus on the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. Seek the kingdom. Fear not, brethren. Fear not. Like Father Abraham in Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield. I am their exceedingly great reward. In Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is he that goeth with thee. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee. Look at how many times it says, I am with you. I will not forsake thee. I will be with you. What an encouragement, brethren, as we see things falling all around us. The society, the norms of society is a lot different than it was a year ago. What is right is wrong. What is wrong is right. What is blue is red. What is red is blue. It's all mixed up. You know, what's a family now is in question. So everything that we knew growing up has been changed, except the faith that we have in the scriptures and the promise that we have that God is a shield to protect us, to guard us from the anger and power of all the kings of the earth and their armies, and able and willing to make all things work together for our good. Think of that, brethren, to guard us, to overrule for us. God may permit some of us to go through some tough experiences with dealing with the world, but it's for our highest good. He makes it work together for our good. What a comfort was in this thought. How it reminds us that God is our shield, also our protector from everything evil and power. The thought is beautifully expressed in one of the hymns. We sing it, "Shield of my soul, though the tempest rage, and against me host of foes engage, my refuge and my fortress thou be. Before thee every foe must bow." The consolation here offered to Abraham is that offered to all who are of the faith of Abraham. Remember, Abraham, I consider a father of the faithful. What God promised to Abraham, "I will go with thee." Abraham had no idea where he was going. He walked by faith. He knew God would protect him. And its parallel in the New Testament is that the precious statement of our Lord in John 14, 21 and 23, "He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." We have, like God was with Father Abraham, we have our Lord walking alongside of us, watching over with us. He makes our abode with him in that he gives us the strength. He carries our burdens. He watches out for our walking. So in the midst of all temptations and trials that beset us in our earthly pilgrimage, while we walk by faith toward the blessed inheritance reserved for the overcoming saints, we also may recognize the voice of God saying, "Fear not at what you see going around you, what you experience. If things cost a little more, God's grace and overruling will provide. He will always provide for us." But like what we talked about yesterday, "I am thy shield," which means I am your protector. I am your overruler. And thine exceeding great reward. By walking by faith, by holding on and trust. I think that's one of the lessons I learned in this study is trust and obey. It's that simple. Abraham trusted God. He obeyed God. And what was the results? God was Abraham's great and exceedingly reward. Isn't that the same for us, brethren? If we trust God where we can't trace him, we don't know come tomorrow morning what experiences we may get or what kind of world we will wake up to. It'll be changed. We know it'll be changed. But our stability and our faith reaches out to God, and if we obey his commandments, keep his commandments within our heart, knowing full well all things will work together for our highest welfare. A promise. We're doing a study on Joshua, so this is just part of it. In Joshua 1:8, God says to Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe and do all according to what is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." Keep the law, keep this treasure of what we've learned of this truth that's been passed on to us, this harvest truth. It is so precious to us. Meditate on it day and night. And not only meditate, but instruction, and then do it. Live according to what we know, what we have learned. Put our faith into action, just like what Father Abraham did. And in verse 9, Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded thee?" Do you hear our Father speaking to us? "Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest." Now Joshua seems like in our study seems to be one of a timid, non-assuming type character. I think that's most of us. But here we have this command. We are giants. Be strong. Be of good courage. Be not afraid. Again, God is with us wherever we go. If the trials of faith, submission, and trust shall be greater in the near future than what we have yet seen, these faithful ones will not fall. These will be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, even though they may be required for time to follow where they cannot see Him. Isn't that the essence of faith, of what we've been saying? Trust God where we can't trace Him. Be obedient to the heavenly vision, to this truth that we have been taught. We will not fail. God will overrule for all our highest welfare. 2 Timothy 1:7. This was a very transforming scripture for me in the early days of consecration. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind grounded in the truth, especially the harvest truth, will not fear when we see the things falling apart around us, because we know God and Jesus are control. I think that's the biggest thing that I hear when I talk to my neighbors and people on the street. They're fearful because they don't know what tomorrow will bring. They are fearful. Who's in control? Who knows what to do? How are we going to get out of this mess? But we know, because of our faith in the harvest truth and in the Lord's words, that our Lord is taking care of all the situations. And therefore, we should not have the spirit of fear. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God, and they have not received the spirit of bondage again, leading to fear. For we have received the spirit of adoption. Therein we cry, Abba, Father, or Daddy, dearest. This endearing relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father, that our Father wants us to trust Him, even though we don't know the full situations of what tomorrow or next week will bring. And we know for a fact, when we tabernacle, if the Lord's will, again next year, the world will be completely different again. But yet, we trust that God will overrule for all. Matthew 10:31. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than the many sparrows. I look out in my garden, I see a lot of chickadees and sparrows. They're taken care of. They don't have any fear. They go about getting their food and about their business. And aren't we more valuable than the sparrows and the birds or even the lilies? Don't you think our Father is watching and taking care of us? Hebrews 13:6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do to me. It doesn't matter what the world thinks of us. We strive to live honestly and decently before men and follow the Lord's will. But the fear of man is a snare. But we know that we can say, God is my helper. It doesn't matter what man will do to us. From the pastor, our position in the world is a peculiar one. None others can afford to be so courageous and independent as he. Yet the true child of God is not self-sufficient or independent of outside help. He is exhorted in the word of the Lord not to be boastful. This fits in very nice with today's manna, but humble-minded, realizing his powerlessness of himself and his need of God. We cannot fight these battles. Look what we're up against. We're up against the world, the flesh, the adversary, and ourselves in nominal Christendom. All of these forces are coming at us. It's too big to handle on ourselves. That's why, again, it's important to stay near to God and the truth that we have learned. We are safe when we are under his wings. And under his wings means being close and incorporating what we have learned of the harvest truth, not only in doctrine, but also in character, and make it part of who we are. Put up our defense shield, like it talks about in Ephesians 6. These were all provided for us to be able to fight the good fight of faith. Indeed, unless he is humble-minded, he cannot be pleasing to the Lord. But at the same time, he is full of courage and confidence. No power in the universe is able to cope with our God. And he has declared that he is the support and shield of his children. He is the strong tower of those who put what? Their trust in him. Just like Joshua, like we read in Joshua 1:9, he was very humble-minded. He did not run ahead of the Lord. He trusted in the Lord, was constant communication with God. And what was the result? God gave Joshua blessings and stores. And yet Joshua was very humble-minded. Yet he was bold and courageous. So long as he stayed within the words and understanding of God's will. Fear not, little flock, the faithful gospel church. Well, who is this little flock? We know not many as compared with the world, or even as compared with those who take the first step of faith unto justification. Not many wise. Not many noble. God has chosen. Look at the wisdom of God did this. That we cannot say we are smart. We are only smart in that we are in the Lord and through the power of his Holy Spirit, that we are made wise unto salvation. Why? So that God takes the nothings and turns them into something. So that no man can glory and say, well, look what I did. But look at what God did and is doing to us when we exercise trust and obey. It is chiefly the poor of this world, the precious jewels of the Lord's own choosing, partakers of the divine nature. Look what's set out before us, brethren. Immortality, to sit next to God himself, to see God face to face, to see Jesus face to face, to see the 144,000 that are on the other side of the veil face to face. Meditate on that, brethren. Put yourself in the mind of what are you going to do or say when you make your calling and election sure and you see God for the first time. What are you going to say other than thank you? I don't know what more you could say. We are the first fruits, as in James 1:18. He that hath part in the first resurrection. Revelation 20, verse 6. We will have glory, honor, immortality, Romans 2:7, right next to our Lord and our Heavenly Father. What a high honor that's held out for us. We are a royal priesthood, high of the order of Melchizedek, the priest and king on the throne. 1 Peter 2:9. We are kings and priests. Revelation 1:6 and 5:10. Exercise kingly authority with priestly passion. The called and the chosen and the faithful. Revelation 17:14. We are of the firstborn. Hebrews 12:23. Firstborn received a double blessing. Received all the honors that were passed down from father to firstborn. And isn't that what our Father's doing for us? He's giving us all these promises held out to us if we just trust and obey. We are copies of God's dear Son. We are the true virgin church of Christ. Those with the eyes and ears of faith. And isn't this what we're being tested? Just like Father Abraham, he walked not knowing where he was going. But God said, I'll show you. I'll give it to you. And he held out these promises. And Abraham went. Don't we do the same, brethren, that we go? We see the heavenly kingdom. We see these promises. We have the ears of faith. We step out. Come tomorrow morning, come Monday morning, we step out and we go about our daily activities. But we have this eye of faith, knowing and being courageous that God is overruling everything for our highest welfare. Those who faithfully perform their consecration vows, they are the 144,000 of Revelation 14, verse 1. So this is just a short few verses on the descriptor of what the little flock is. What a blessings we have held out for us, brethren. In John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. That's a guarantee. If we are faithfully running, fulfilling our consecration vows, we will have tribulation. We will have difficulties. We will have experiences. We will run up against unrighteous people, unrighteous thoughts, but yet we persevere. We will not let them overcome us. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Look how Jesus overcame, and use that as an example. Revelation 2:7. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life. Revelation 2:11. He that overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Brother, these are promises held out to us. If we strive to overcoming the world, flesh, the adversary, and of the nominal systems that we have to deal with. He that overcomes, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone. Revelation 2:26. He that overcomes, I will grant to give power over the nations, and they shall rule with them with a rod of iron. Brethren, think of that privilege. That the faithful saints have this privilege of tearing down this old order. And at the same time, proclaiming and bringing in a new world order. And we know that'll bring peace. That'll bring prosperity. That'll bring happiness. Every man will be satisfied. Are they satisfied? No. You hear the grumblings of the world of mankind. But we have this privilege of proclaiming and bringing in this long-promised kingdom, the true solution to man's world's problems. Revelation 3:5. He that overcomes clothed in white raiment, I will not blot out his name of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Brethren, take your mental vision and imagine you make your calling election sure. Jesus confesses you, your name, before the Father and before the angels. Revelation 3:12. Him that overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Okay. Are we still good, Mark?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, something popped up on the screen. Revelation 3:21. To him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Think of that, brethren. Okay, why did it stop?
Your video's turned off.
Is it okay now?
No, your own personal video.
What happened?
I don't know, you just went off.
Is it okay now?
No, is your video at the bottom? You know, next to your speaker? Make sure that's...
Okay, got it.
You're there.
Okay, we good?
Yeah, you're good.
Are we okay?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, we good?
Yes.
Tony?
Yeah, everything's working fine now, Ed.
Okay,
your
okay.
Your video went off, that was all.
Oh, okay. Well, life goes on. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure. Okay, what's going on?
You're okay.
Why isn't it advancing?
I don't know.
Tony?
Just use your arrow on your, or just press your enter key. Move on.
I did. It's not moving.
Click your mouse on your presentation.
Your mouse has to be on the presentation, or your arrow has to, you have to be on the, clicked on the presentation, otherwise it doesn't know what to do or where it's at. It thinks it's on the desktop or someplace else. So find your cursor and put it on the presentation.
Okay, let me just...
No, just put your just click any place on the presentation and then you can start.
Ed, you've moved to slide 19 now. You're on 19 now.
Okay,
Just go back two slides and start again from there. That's it. Now, click on the correct one. You're on your screen, not the presentation screen. That's it. You're there.
Okay. Okay, we're good? Okay.
Yeah, you're fine now.
Technologies. Okay. Psalms 51:18. Do good in thy pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Zion, or of Jerusalem. We build the walls of faith, don't we, brethren? Ephesians 1:5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It is adoption. It is God's good pleasure for us. Ephesians 1:9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he has purposed in himself. It is God's good pleasure to open up the scriptures so that we know in the mystery of his will. Philippians 2:13. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Think of that, brethren. It's God's pleasure, God's delight that he works in us. He's taken the time out of his busy day to lead us, to guide us, to shape us. It is God's good pleasure. It is encouraging for us to know that this wealth warfare is not one which we must wage alone. All the powers of heaven are enlisted on our behalf. Think of what's on our behalf, brethren. Our Lord, God, the guardian angels, the brethren that went before us, and our brethren that are with us now. All are tools that God uses. It is his good pleasure to use these tools to help us along this narrow way. We could not do this work ourselves. It's the power that is working in us is of God. The Spirit of the Lord gives us the spirit of power, strength, courage, energy. We are able to do more than we could do otherwise. It is the Lord's part to provide the way, the truth, the life, in the means. It is our part to use the means and thus to obtain. God's given us all these tools and helps and aids to help us along this narrow way. And it is God's good pleasure. It's like a father giving us unlimited resources of gifts and blessings for the purpose to help us along the narrow way. The work of grace goes on in our hearts and lives by his providences, by the instructions, warnings, and counsels of his word. The Father works in us as new creatures as we exercise ourselves in the control of flesh. We become strong. God strengthens our new minds by revealing to us more clearly the significance of the great and exceeding precious promises of his word. Our sufficiency is of Christ. Second, our progress is gradual. Just like the flowers, they grow slowly. They grow in grace, in knowledge, in likeness of God's character. To will as when we make our consecration is not enough. To do it, our good intentions must be brought into practice in our lives. We have to put into practice what we've learned. Rather than only receiving more knowledge of God's plan, the facts of the truth, we must permit the truth to work in our hearts. Fear not, little flock. It is Father's good pleasure to give you, but he teaches us to wait, doesn't he? He who has made a consecration to God of obedience and righteousness, and later a special consecration to sacrifice earthly interests for the heavenly. For ye are called in the one hope of your calling, Ephesians 4:4. All right, then the big question is, brethren, when, it's all on our minds, when will the church be complete? When? Let me provide this. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up, for your deliverance is nigh at hand. Luke 21:28. Don't we get excited when we see things falling apart? We see. Why? Because the kingdom is at the door. The world looks at it in Luke 21:26. Men's hearts failing them, what? For fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And when they shall see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with great power and glory. What a contrast between the two. We look at it, seeing the trouble as a blessing and seeing the kingdom. Man looks at it as falling apart. They're fearful. But we rejoice, don't we, brethren? Look up. Our Master who gives us his word and the inside information, let us note the fulfillments that we see. Look in Scripture, then look out the window. Look in Scripture, look out the window. And you see how God's kingdom is grandly marching on. Even if the worst should happen, we should remember that God is at the helm and that he will allow the pride and wrath to work out the great trouble and the inauguration of Messiah's kingdom. No matter what happens in the world or happens to us, it's God who is control. Lift up your heads, brethren, realizing that the dark clouds are the harbingers of the coming millennial blessings. Look behind the storm clouds, and what do you see? A bright, sunny day. Christ's judgments are encircling the earth as the signs and groanings promise to precede a second birth. Our rejoicing can only be in respect to the glorious things which the hope to experience, and which they know to be near by these outward signs. Our redemption, pointing us forward to the salvation to be brought to us through the first resurrection. When? When's the church going to be complete? Have some scriptures for you. Very familiar with one, and I think it describes the time we're living in. Psalms 46:2. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the seas, through the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. Don't we see that? But here's the church's perspective. There is a river, and the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. When? Right early. Early in the morning. The morning brings with it deliverance from danger, victory over enemies, peace to the nations, and the renewal of earth by establishment of Messiah's glorious throne. This is what the morning brings. Her morning precedes the millennial morning. Remember, we're not that maybe, what, since 1874 to now, I don't know the years, but we're only maybe, what, 10-15% into the millennial reign. So it's still early in the morning. It's still about 1 o'clock in the morning. As Israel's deliverance did not come in the night in which the Passover was eaten, but in the morning which followed it. There's an example, I thought of this, as Jesus came to his disciples in the midst of the storm, in the fourth watch of the night. Matthew 14:25. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and he cried out for fear. But straightway, Jesus spoke unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Don't we look around us, sometimes get fearful, but Jesus calmed their spirit. Be careful, be calm, be of good cheer, it is I. What is this fourth watch? It is between 3 and 6 in the morning, early in the morning. God overruled, or Jesus overruled and took care of his disciples. As Jesus was, when was Jesus raised? It was very early in the morning. The church, the sleeping saints, were raised early in the morning, 1878. That's very early in the morning. And when we make our calling election sure, with a change and of a blink of an eye, isn't it still early in the morning? So that's about as close as I can get for you, brethren, scripturally, of when the church will be complete. But the promises of glory are held out to us. 1 Peter 1:4, thereby are given unto us exceeding great precious promises, that by these might be partakers of the divine nature. Incorporate these promises into our lives. John 14:3, and as if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also. Romans 8:17. And children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus, with Christ, if so that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Put these scriptures together and put them in your heart, that the sufferings Jesus has prepared a place for us, to be with him in the heavenly realms. And if we, it puts our suffering in perspective, doesn't it, brethren? Colossians 3:4, and Jesus, or when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him, what? In glory. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Instead of putting you, put your name in that. This promise is yours. It is mine. Claim it, brethren. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purify himself even as he is pure. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God, the spiritual, unseen kingdom of Messiah as joint heirs. Only the royal family will get the kingdom. All others will be subject to the kingdom. These are be the royal priesthood to whom under Christ, the King of Kings, Priest of Priests, shall be committed to the full control of earth during the times of restitution. They must first be made spiritual, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 15:5. The affairs of the earth will be turned over to the little flock and with Jesus. Think of that, brethren. We will be able to help the world of mankind come up the highway of holiness. Theirs is a high calling to joint heirship in his kingdom, which is soon to bless the world. The messianic kingdom for the work of blessing, enlightening, and uplifting all the poor of the world of mankind. Isn't that somewhat of our mission statement? Blessing, enlightening, in uplifting the world of mankind as joint heirs with their Redeemer. Jesus said in Luke 22:29, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me. We have this promise of a kingdom before us. In Luke 19:17, and he said unto me, well, good, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a little, thou will give thee authority over 10 cities. Ye may eat and drink at my table in my Father's kingdom and sit on thrones. Luke 22:30. James 2:5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him? We will be kings and priests. This is a double office, was typified by Melchizedek, who is a priest on a throne. In Revelation 5:10, the Christ of glory, Jesus the head, and the church the body, will be enthroned as priests. These priests shall teach as well as kings to reign. As kings, they will rule the world in righteousness, enforcing and establishing order and justice and truth. As priests, they will teach the people. As joint heirs with Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the kingdom, in the glory of which Solomon's temple was a type. This peculiar people, this holy kingdom or nation, all of whom are royal priests, has a great duty to work with established in the kingdom power. The entire company of Jehovah's anointed, the Christ, kings and their heads and captain, and Jesus is King of Kings, Revelation 19:16. The work of a priest is one of intercession and instruction in righteousness and logically implies subjects. Intercession in teaching. Isn't that, this was what is held out for us, brethren. We'll reign on the earth over the world of mankind who have been awakened from the tomb. The called, chosen, and faithful ones will be joint heirs with Christ. They are to reign over the earth during the 1,000 years. And we have that in Revelation 20, verse 6. And shall reign with him during the 1,000 years. The promised seed of Abraham is to have entrusted to be entrusted to it the great work of blessing all the families of the earth. And when the election of the spiritual seed of Abraham shall be accomplished, this gospel age will end. We know that. Then will begin the messianic age, or the mediatorial phase of the kingdom, in which Christ and the church shall reign in spiritual power. Who shall reign on the earth during the millennial age to bind Satan's power and to open the eyes of those who have so long blinded and deceived? The elect enter into these joys and blessings, not at death, but as our resurrection. The peace and joy and blessing in which the world needs and craves cannot come until the elect church, whose head is Jesus Christ, and shall be given the kingdom and the dominion of the earth. Therefore, brethren, when we see the world falling apart, when we see inflation running rampant, when gas prices go through the roof, trouble in the Middle East, trouble everywhere, moral decline, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. May the Lord add his blessing and overrule accordingly.